Hey everyone, before we get into the message today, I wanted to kind of give an idea of why we're doing this particular series we're in. And I've got an illustration. This is a picture. I don't know if you can see it very well or not, but this is a picture of me and Becky, first year of marriage. Actually, this is a picture that we have. We have it in our kitchen now. And whenever I see it, it reminds me of a few things. One is just how grateful I am that she said yes. And then thinking back to the commitments that we made to each other when we were married. Some we did in the official wedding ceremony, but others we had made just as we had built our friendship and recognized that this is what God called us to. We didn't know all that was going to be happening over the 40 years we've been together. There's a lot that we've been through, some things that have been good, some things that have been really hard. I would say that there have been very few times where we haven't been busy. And this is the thing, is that if we're not careful, we can allow busyness and we can allow all that goes on in our lives to crowd out those things that we need to hang on to and remember. And that's the reason we're doing this series, is we want to remember and be really clear about the things that matter. And when we think about Jesus, it should remind us, just like when I'm looking at this picture, it reminds me of some things. When you and I look at Jesus, it should remind us not only of who we are, but whose we are. Sometimes I think we get the idea, well, I'm a Christian, and so that's kind of an identity I have. But I forget that it means that I really belong to someone. I belong to Christ. He's given me a brand new life. And so this new life, it needs to reflect those things that he says are most important. And I don't want to allow my life to slide into just being busy. I want to make sure I'm good and busy. So we're looking at these core values. Now, we have articulated them in a certain way at New Hope. But all of these core values are really essential for anyone that is a Christian, anyone that's a follower of Jesus. These are standard operating procedure for us. So let me just give a quick review of what these things we've looked at. We looked at first at connected people grow. The moment you become a follower of Jesus, God wants you to be vitally connected to a local church, not just in general, but specifically. It's like if someone says they're in the army, well, you can ask them where they're stationed. If they say, oh, not anywhere, I'm just kind of a floater, well, that's not how it works. If they say that, you've got reason to think they're probably AWOL. You know, we need to be vitally connected to a local church. Listen to what Ephesians 4 says. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. So everyone that is a follower of Jesus, we're now part of his body. And each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. There is no time to waste in us being connected to each other. And it helps us grow. It helps our church grow. It helps our impact in the world to grow. Here's another one. Devoted people give. The standard kind of attitude of the heart when it comes to finances for followers of Jesus is generosity. We give where we give to support the work through our church. We give to support other important endeavors in the world. We give to help others. It's just this giving mentality. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians. Now I want you to be leaders also in the spirit of cheerful giving. This is one way to prove that your love is real, that it goes beyond mere words. I've heard it said before, and I know it's true, is that you can give without loving God. There are a lot of people that are very philanthropic and are generous. But if you love God, you will be a giver. You can't love God and not give. Giving and this kind of treating all that I have as a steward of God's resources, it is just part of the life of a follower of Christ. Last week, we looked at this one. Found people, find people. Jesus said that he came to this world to seek and to save those who are lost. And he has commissioned us to do the exact same thing. Once we become followers of his, we are part of that rescue team that he has. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 9. I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. Again, we don't save anyone, obviously, but we're bringing them to a point of understanding who Jesus is, who can save and rescue them. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. This is never a mission that we have because we're better than others or out of arrogance or self-righteousness. But it's like when I have discovered the new life that Jesus gives, when I found freedom and hope and forgiveness, it is a natural thing to want to share that so others can experience the same thing. So those are the ones we've looked at so far. Today we have another one, and that simply stated is this: save people, serve people. It's real easy to remember this too. It's a kind of a catchy little thing. Save people, serve people. You could, I'm sure you'll remember this tomorrow. But latching on to what it really means and making it a pattern of our life is something very different. And I want to tell a story today. This is an episode in Jesus' life that really does illustrate this remarkably well. So I want you to follow along with me. I'm going to read this. This is in Matthew. It's also recorded in the biography of Jesus called, written by Mark. It says this. He goes, this is the circumstance going on with Jesus and his disciples. And it said, then the mother of James and John, two of Jesus' disciples, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. What do you request? He asked. She replied, in your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right, the other on your left. Boy, I would love to have seen that. Said, but Jesus answered by saying to them, just not to the mother, but she was right there with her boys, to all of them, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Oh, yes, they replied. We are able. We're ready. Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. It's just a fascinating. Let me stop here for a minute. I love this story for a couple of reasons. One is it's a reminder that Jesus is really, really patient with us. These guys have been with him for a while, and they're still thinking in their mind that this kingdom of Jesus is going to be one set up here where they're going to have power, he's going to have power, there's going to be this movement going on, and the haves and the have-nots, they're going to be the haves. And they're really looking to make sure that they're in top place. I find that just, well, it's very much human nature. I see that mothers haven't changed much. This mother is advocating for her boys. There's kind of a stereotype of the Jewish mother, but you get the idea here that she is. She's got an idea. She wants them to be prominent, and she's going to come advocate for them. And another thing about this, too, that is really encouraging to me is just that it was included in the Bible. You know, we're used to, and we live in a world where things get edited out pretty quickly if it doesn't fit the narrative somebody wants, or we can spin things a certain way. And it would have been easy to have left this out of the Bible because it, you know, after Jesus is resurrected, the church is going and you have these leaders. James and John were pretty influential leaders, and it could have been that they would have thought, this doesn't really make our resume look so good, so let's just push that out. They didn't. They kept it in because there was a sense of honesty. There was a sense of integrity that they held on to. And this, I just really love it. I'm encouraged by the fact that there is, when it comes to our faith, that it's not something that's been just glossed over or airbrushed. It's very, very real people. I can identify with the disciples, and it gives me hope for me. James and John were ambitious. And they just really wanted to be in a prominent place in this new movement. They had their ideas of what it was going to be like, just like most people did. They thought it was more of a political, social movement. And they really just didn't get it all. And they wouldn't until after Jesus' death and resurrection. They really weren't going to get what this was about. I'm sure that their mother had this idea that, boy, if my boys can be successful, then I'll be glad for them, but it's also going to be a great reflection on me and being able to bask in the glory of her sons. Jesus does set them straight. I'm not going to spend a lot of time in this, but he doesn't do it in an ugly kind of way or condescending way, but he's saying something they're going to remember later, and that is, well, you know, the path I'm leading, you are going to go down it, and it's going to be difficult and it's going to be hard. And one day you'll understand what this is all about. But for now, let me just say, you don't get it. So then things shift. You know, the mom's been there advocating for her boys. James and John are there. But this isn't done in a vacuum. The other disciples hear about it. It says in verse 24, when the 10 other disciples heard what James and John had asked, remember, they weren't blaming the mom at this point. They're going to their comrades. When they heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. But Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The disciples are irritated that James and John have come in asking for the best seats, more than likely because they were thinking that, well, I was hoping it was going to be me. Remember, all of them kind of thought that this kingdom Jesus was establishing was very different than what Jesus was really going to do. And so now he's giving them an idea of it. He says, there's a difference in this kingdom than what you've ever seen before. This is not like Roman rule. It's not like what happened among the Pharisees and Sadducees in the church rule. This is different. It's upside down. It's going to be a very anti-cliquish, anti-power grab. And he wants them to get this because he doesn't want them to just take what the world system is and just translate that into some kind of a religious context. This is going to be something entirely different. And he uses pretty strong words. He uses servant and slave here. He said that if you're going to really get into this, he said that those among you, the leaders among you must be a servant. And whoever wants to be first must become a slave. The idea here is to volunteer leadership and service. It's this voluntarily yielding the right to have things your way to serve and care for others. And they were so used to a very different system. They were used to working your way up to the top. By the way, this is the same thing that we live now. Human nature hasn't changed. Where you have people that work for you, people that show deference to you, people meet your needs, where your interests are number one. And Jesus said, that is not the way of my kingdom. He said, when you follow me, when you get to know me, you're going to learn to love and serve others. In fact, you're going to see it not just as a responsibility, but a privilege. And you're going to see that leadership means that you want to bring out the best in others, even if it costs you. And you'll use your influence, you'll use your resources and all the networking you have to be a benefit and a blessing to people around you. You will voluntarily become a servant to meet the needs of others. And quite honestly, if you really want to build community, if you want to build camaraderie, if you want to build strong morale and have bridges of understanding, serving like this is absolutely essential. If you look at any of the really, really successful, long-term successful coaches and trainers, you're going to see that they went out of their way to serve those around them. There are some that are successful because they just use power and they use it indiscriminately. But the long-term success, you'll find that service was key to that. And it's really what distinguishes true followers of Jesus, is this idea of serving others for their benefit. Listen to what it says in Philippians 2. Don't be selfish. Just listen to this. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. This is not saying that others are better than you. You know, the idea of the word humility, it doesn't mean to think less of myself. It means to think of myself less. So be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. If Jesus hadn't come with a serving mentality, if he hadn't been willing to put our interest above his own, we would be lost and hopeless and doomed. This is the pedigree that we have. This is the life we've been given, is because he came to serve. And it only makes sense that once we follow him and get to know him, that we begin to do the same thing. That we take on this mantle of, because I've been loved and cared for and served so much, now I get to do that in Jesus' name, representing him. I get to do that to and for others. And here's some great news. There are tons of opportunities to serve and to help others. There are tons of them. They're all over the place. And I'm not going to take a lot of time in just giving you all kind of list of ways you can do that. In fact, you're going to have a moment here where I'm going to ask you to be thinking about ways that you can serve and care for others, how you can step out and prove that you have this relationship with Jesus by how you serve and love others. And the question to be thinking about is, in your sphere of influence right now, where could God use you to be serving and caring for others? And there's so many different ways. I mean, I'm thinking of ways that recently where I've seen this happen, where someone just made a decision, said, I'm going to pick up coffee for you. What do you want? Where someone sent an email, and the email wasn't asking for anything. It was just expressing gratitude. Where someone sent a text message and just saying, I'm praying for you today. Someone offered, they're running an errand, and they said, what can I pick you up while I'm gone? Seeing someone on the side of the road and stopping to help them. Again, I realize there's all the things about COVID and all that. I'm not ignorant of that. I'm just saying there's so many ways you and I can step up and serve and help others. There's just tons of them. And I just want you to think for just a minute. In your home, in your family, if you live with others, and especially parents, we need to be leading the way in this, looking for ways to serve. We need to model it. A phrase that would be, I've tried to do one phrase, and this other one I'm starting to learn. The one is, whenever you're asked to do something, it's just easy to just say sure and do it. Not, no, I'm too busy, I don't have time, I don't want to, or by an attitude of being interrupted, just saying, or you know, that kind of thing. Another one is, let me do it. You know, look for ways. You're, again, not trying to micromanage someone's life, not trying to keep them from being responsible, but look for ways to serve, to encourage and help and support them. In your neighborhood, there are tons of ways to do this. Just be on the lookout. If there's a snowstorm and you know some people that maybe they're older or they have some health issues, just go shovel their driveway. If you're going to go out to the store, check by and see, can I pick you up something while I'm gone? I mean, looking for ways to help. In our church, there are tons of opportunities, and there will be more as COVID restrictions relax. I mean, Wendy mentioned earlier in the service about the landing. I am so grateful for the volunteer leaders that we have there, people that have said, you know what, I remember what it was like when I was a teen, and I want to come alongside and I want to help. I want to help not only these students that are trying to navigate life well, but I want to come alongside and help families too. There are tons of opportunities like this. Just listen, pay attention, and ask God to show you. In your work and in school, you know, there it's easy just to do your own job and be content with that. But, you know, why not ask if you can help someone else? You know, one way you can serve is to give someone a chance to show you something. I know that sounds maybe self-serving, but, you know, there are so many times where someone, it puts wind in their sails to know that someone was asked if they could explain something. Why don't we do that? Look for ways to do this. And in our community, there's so many places where we can volunteer, places where we can step out. And serving, when I have a mindset of, I wonder what I can do to make a difference, then all of a sudden, things will open up. So here's what I'd like you to do. This is an experiment. It may backfire, but if so, it's my fault. I have a movie clip I want you to watch. It's one of my, almost every time I watch this, I start to tear up. The movie is Witness. It stars Harrison Ford. And it's the story of there was a young Amish boy that witnessed a murder. And Harrison Ford is a police detective, and he is protecting this young boy so he can testify. I mean, there's a lot of backstory to it. This young boy is Amish, and Harrison Ford finds himself living in this Amish community while he's watching over this little guy. The little boy's mom is a widow. It's Kelly McGillis plays her. She was the love interest of Tom Cruise in the first Top Gun. And so while Harrison Ford is there, he's being exposed to this new way of life, the way the Amish live very simply. He begins to develop some feelings for this widow. There's another guy, guy with long blonde hair. You'll see this in this. He's a Alexander Goodenough, I think it is. And he's got interest on Kelly McGillis, and he's jealous of Harrison Ford. So there's a lot of behind the things, seeing things going on. People in the community are a little nervous about Harrison Ford because he's brought in very different values. Anyway, what you do see in this scene is there's a young family that need to have a barn built. Everybody in the community shows up to come help them build this barn. The people that are the recipients is just this couple, this young family, but everyone steps in to help. From young and old, they're all using their talents and abilities to come in and do something as a community. It's a picture to me of what the church can be when we choose to take this mindset of where Jesus said he didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So what I'd like you to do is watch this clip. It's about 4 or 5 minutes. And as you're watching it, ask yourself, God, I wonder what I could be doing. Wonder what it is you want me to do, where I can be connected with others, where I can be serving, where I can be making a difference in my community. God, what might it look like to you when you see your people step up and step out? So let's watch this together, and we'll come back in a few minutes to close things out.
I feel you're a carpenter. Well, it's been a while.
No matter, we can always use a good one.
Hurry up now. We have a bond to raise and a day to do it.
Rachel, bonds to him.
Good luck.
Your hole is better now.
Yeah, it's pretty much healed.
Good. Then you can go home.
This one good, David?
Maybe still. You look still.
We wish to. Wish ready for harbor.
Yes, sir.
We are. You will be celebrated.
Do love that movie. There's just something about it that stirs in me, and anyway, I won't get into all that, but here's our point. Save people, serve people. They don't just serve people they like. They don't just serve people that are like them. They look for opportunities to be Jesus' hands and feet and mouth wherever they can be. And as you and I do this, we reflect Jesus to those that are watching. And it can provide encouragement, it can provide support, it can provide some interest, maybe an open a door for them to investigate more, it can heal, and it can make a difference, a real big difference in a broken world where division is constant. Serving can help bridge some of those differences. In the take-home sheet this week, you'll find out some categories to be thinking about, reflecting on, and it's a real chance to talk with some others, your small group, your family, some friends, of what are some ways that we can begin serving right now where we are. So a friend that I've asked to pray for us this week is Abram Medellin. If Abram, I didn't tell him this, but Abram really, to me, is a real picture of someone that serves. Whenever there's an opportunity that comes up, Abram steps in. And so I'm really glad for him to pray. And Abram, let me turn it over to you now.
Hey, New Hope, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today's message. I ask that you open up our hearts that we may be able to freely and with love serve others in our community. Heavenly Father, now more than ever, there are many opportunities and changes going on that it is needed. Heavenly Father, I ask that you open up my heart that I may be able to serve anyone around me and that your name be praised. I know that you were not sent here to be served, but to serve others. And that is the example that we must be showing everyone around us, Heavenly Father, to serve with an open heart and with love. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for everything that you've done for us, that you will continue to do. With all these changes come new beginnings, Heavenly Father. And I just thank you for everything, and we put your trust in you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for everything. In your name we pray. Amen.